Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, you've heard of Agent Orange health claims after the Vietnam War. You've heard of Gulf War syndrome after 91. And now some vets returning from Iraq are suing the government over illnesses they say were caused by the use of depleted uranium, a toxic and radioactive material used to harden ammunition to help pierce armor. Depleted uranium has been used mostly by the United States in both Gulf Wars, the Balkans, and perhaps Afghanistan. The science of DU is being debated, and there are lots of politics involved, to be sure. But two states, Connecticut and Louisiana, have recently passed laws to provide screening for depleted uranium exposure and effects for returning vets. The New York State Assembly now has such a bill introduced by Bronx Democrat Jeffrey Dinowitz, who joins me now, along with Herbert Reed, a retired Army staff sergeant, now suing the government over what he says is depleted uranium disease, and Greg Lawrence, a biochemist studying DU at LIU, Long Island University, in Brooklyn. So, Assemblyman Dinowitz, welcome back. Sergeant Reed and Dr. Lawrence, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
And Dr. Lawrence, let's do some science first. What exactly is depleted uranium?
Well, it's just uranium that is a product from the process of enriching uranium for nuclear reactors or also for making weapons. And so it's a waste product.
And I think I called you Greg Lawrence. You are Glenn Lawrence, so
right.
We have to get that straight. What does depleted mean?
Well, it's depleted in the isotope that is useful for generating power for nuclear reactors and so on. So the uranium-235 isotope is fissionable, and so there's very small amounts of it in natural uranium, but they extract that in order to get it enriched in this fissionable isotope. The major isotope, which is uranium-238, is not fissionable, so it's really kind of useless other than making bullets out of it.
Now, the word uranium is immediately scary because that's the radioactive material in nuclear weapons. But I've read that radioactivity is not the main health concern from DU. How much is this a nuclear or radioactivity issue, in your opinion?
Well, I think the chemical toxicity of it is the major problem, and the radioactivity just happens to be incidental in adding to that.
But it's not like people are coming down with radiation disease?
No. This is really much more like heavy metal toxicity, such as you would find with lead and mercury and arsenic and things like that.
Sergeant Reed, tell us when and where you served in the military and how you came into contact with depleted uranium.
Well, my unit was activated January 2003 to go to Iraq. We deployed in April. I joined a unit in June of 2003. I became injured. My left side of my body became paralyzed. The muscles atrophied and required me to be medevaced out of Iraq. It wasn't until I arrived back at Walter Reed Army Hospital after they had operated and found that I had cervical and lumbar disc disorders that I was suffering from exposure to depleted uranium.
How do you know?
Well, the medic that was with our unit was medevaced out, and he came. And the guys, it was like four or five of us from my unit who had been medevaced for various reasons. And we all seemed to have the same ailments, body, joint aches, shortness of breath, blood in the stool, blood in the urine. And we were just talking about this, and when Juan Vega came back, he said that the Dutch unit, a Marine unit, had came in to relieve us in Al Samawah, had did a test of the area and found it to be radioactive. So, and he suggested that we get tested for DU.
What's the basis of your lawsuit against the government?
Well, the basis is that the government knew about this prior to the Second Gulf War because they used all of the depleted uranium shells during the First Gulf War. And when the soldiers came back, they named it Gulf War syndrome, but really they knew it was the cause was from depleted uranium.
So you're saying depleted uranium is Gulf War syndrome.
That's what we're saying. Dr. Asaf Durakovich was a colonel during the first Gulf War, a doctor in nuclear science, and he was the first to discover this, and he brought it to the attention of the military, and they forced him into retirement. So when we were found to be exposed to depleted uranium, we got a hold of the Daily News, and the Daily News hired Dr. Durakovich to collect the samples and to send them to Germany, Frankfurt, Germany, to Axel Gerdes for mm-hmm. testing, and that's who identified us as being positive for exposure to depleted uranium.
Huh. How good is the test, Dr. Lawrence, for exposure to depleted uranium? Can you really tell just up or down whether somebody has been?
Well, there was a paper published just in February by a group in England, Randall Parrish, who they did studies at different laboratories, and they found that they were accurate to within 1% of identifying the isotopes. And once you know what the isotope ratio is, you can tell whether a person has been exposed to depleted uranium versus natural uranium.
We're talking about depleted uranium and exposure to it, in this case among American veterans returning from the Iraq War, with Herbert Reed, a retired Army staff sergeant, now suing the government over what he says is depleted uranium disease. Dr. Glenn Lawrence, a biochemist studying DU at Long Island University, and Assemblyman Jeffrey Dinowitz, Democrat from the Bronx, who has introduced a related bill in the New York State Legislature. And Assemblyman, tell us about your bill.
Sure. The bill directs that the New York State Division of Veterans Affairs aid any soldier or veteran in obtaining federal treatment services for depleted uranium. And the screening would result in earlier diagnosis. But furthermore, the bill also establishes a task force on depleted uranium to study its health effects, and also it would set up a health registry for veterans. It would prepare a report which should include an assessment of the feasibility and cost of adding pre-deployment training concerning potential exposure and other toxic chemical substances as well. And these things are very important. And the reason is we all agree, I think, whether we're for the war or against the war, everybody supports our troops. But the question is, do we support our troops when they come home from overseas? And that's what this bill is all about, supporting the troops who need our support once they're home.
I've read that the Pentagon already provides screening for soldiers suspected of exposure. So how would this be different, and why isn't that enough?
Well, I don't think most veterans are getting either the screening or the treatment that they need, and this bill forces the state to make sure that they get the treatment. Because the federal government apparently is not doing enough to address this problem. In fact, it's not clear that they've admitted that there is a problem, but then again, how many years did it take the federal government to admit that Agent Orange was the problem that we all know that it was? And this, I think, is akin to that. So if the federal government is not going to be as proactive and do what they should do on a federal level, then I think each state is going to need to address the issue, as Connecticut already has done and as New York should do and hopefully will do in this legislative session.
And we can take phone calls on depleted uranium at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for my three guests. Sergeant Reed, why is depleted uranium so effective in war?
Oh, that's why they use it, because it is so effective. It's able to pierce armor. It can be used to up armor a vehicle so that other shells can't pierce army vehicles, you know, U.S. Army vehicles. It's just so effective in winning a war, so. And the other reason is, you know, what else are they going to do with this stuff after they get rid of it from a nuclear reactor?
It comes from nuclear reactors, Dr. Lawrence?
No, it's actually the depleted uranium. Now, some of it may have been through reactors that have been decommissioned and taken apart, and so it has traces of isotopes that you would find in a nuclear reactor, but most of it is just the waste product from processing uranium to enrich the uranium to get more U-235 in it.
So, Sergeant Reed, are you getting the medical treatment that you're entitled to as a vet, but you think the Pentagon just doesn't want to acknowledge that part of the cause of your illnesses is depleted uranium because they don't want to acknowledge a risk?
No, first of all, I'm not getting the treatment that I'm supposed to for exposure to depleted uranium. There exists a registry in Baltimore for soldiers who are contaminated with depleted uranium. Mm-hmm. Now, this registry only holds soldiers that have shrapnel metal in them. This is not someone who has inhaled depleted uranium like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're fighting for. We're fighting to get on this registry to be treated. Now, a Army Lieutenant General, James B. Peeks, issued a memorandum dated April 29, 2004, stating that depleted uranium biopsies will be administered to all military individuals with level 1, 2, and 3 exposures. But this hasn't occurred. I mean, this is on record with the military, yes. They have tons of documents on depleted uranium since 1952. But as far as treating us, no. I was found to be unfit for future military service and was given a medical discharge, and I'm being treated for various ailments, you know. But as far as being treated for depleted uranium per se, no.
Dr. Lawrence, what would the treatment be?
Well, I was thinking it might be helpful to your listeners to describe how this uranium gets into the body.
Sure.
Through inhalation. What happens is after these penetrators strike their target, and a French group has done this. They've analyzed the dust, which is just depleted uranium oxides coming after the penetrators go through a hard target, such as a tank, and it burns up, it catches on fire, and it goes up in smoke and forms these very tiny particles that are easily inhaled. And the particle range is quite broad, and years ago, back in the 1950s, people found that the extremely small particles, and the French people just recently found that about 20% of them after this stuff burns up is extremely small particles that can dissolve quickly and get into the bloodstream very quickly. And so that's causing a lot of damage to the body immediately.
And I guess out on the battlefield, you're worried about shrapnel and things like that. And if there's a fine dust, you may not even be aware that you're breathing it in, and so it's the last thing that you're worrying about.
That's right, yeah, because usually there's just lots of other smoke from oil fires or other things that would be masking it, and, you know, they're just exposed to so many different things. And, you know, this actually the group in Samoa that Sergeant Reed was with, they were stationed at a place around where a lot of destroyed vehicles were, and so they were exposed to this dust that was just on the ground, and you kick it up, and it can be easily inhaled, you know, every time it gets stirred up, when a car goes by or if people are walking even, it will stir up some of it.
We're going to take a break, then we'll continue, and we have calls coming in, some of which we'll take as well, as we talk about depleted uranium used in war and the controversy over its health effects to U.S. veterans with retired Army Staff Sergeant Herbert Reed, Dr. Glenn Lawrence, biochemist, and New York State Assemblyman Jeffrey Dinowitz introducing a DU-related bill. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, this weekend, This American Life will devote its entire hour to the men being held at the U.S. facility at Guantanamo Bay, weaving together interviews with administration officials, lawyers representing the detainees, as well as former detainees themselves. This American Life will present a comprehensive picture of the situation at Guantanamo, how it represents a break with U.S. legal traditions, both military and civilian, and who exactly are the people being detained there. That's this weekend on This American Life here on WNYC. We continue to talk about the controversy over depleted uranium and its health effects on on veterans and others with retired Army Staff Sergeant Herbert Reed suing the government over what he says is depleted uranium disease. Dr. Glenn Lawrence, a biochemist studying DU at Long Island University in Brooklyn, and Assemblyman Jeffrey Dinowitz, Democrat from the Bronx, introducing a DU screening bill in the New York State Legislature. And let's take a phone call. Here is Raphael in Manhattan. Raphael, you're on WNYC. Hello. Raphael, are you there? Okay, let's try George on Staten Island. Hi, George. Can you hear me?
Hi, yes, Brian. Thank you for the show. I think it's very important that this issue be discussed, that we establish a dialogue. I'm a Vietnam-era veteran, and Agent Orange was swept under the rug for many years, and we're still finding out some of the effects of it, at least the VA is. I wanted to ask Dr. Lawrence if there is any studies going on post-deployment births to these veterans. I heard from Gerard Matthew that he had a child that severely severe birth defects, and I was wondering if there's anybody tracking that, because I've heard of many others, though I don't know the names.
Well, it's very hard to get much information out of the Pentagon or the Veterans Administration either, and I have tried to contact people at the Veterans Administration in Baltimore where they're doing the studies on soldiers that had shrapnel in them. But I haven't been able to get any response from them, so
Assemblyman,
I'm not really sure who's tracking it.
Assemblyman Dinowitz, would that be part of the screening and registry that you're talking about setting up with your bill?
Yeah, the bill would set up a registry for veterans so that we can track and we can know exactly what we're dealing with here and know the exact scope of the problem, because right now it's very difficult to determine that information.
Would that include any birth defects to offspring of these vets that they think might be related to DU?
It would. All the information that could be gathered would be included, so that our task force can make recommendations so that we can take the proper course of action.
Dr. Lawrence, I want to read to you from an article that I have here called Science or Science Fiction, Facts, Myth, and Propaganda in the Debate Over Depleted Uranium Weapons by someone named Dan Fahey, dated March 12, 2003. And he's kind of trying to bust what he sees as extremism on both sides of this debate. And he says at one extreme in the DU debate, the U.S. Department of Defense has overstated the importance of DU munitions and understated their adverse effects. In order to ensure the continued use of DU munitions and avoid responsibility for environmental cleanup and health care costs, Defense Department spokesmen have lied about the health of U.S. Gulf War veterans exposed to DU and exaggerated the importance of DU rounds. In addition, the U.S. government has so far refused to conduct a thorough study of the health of thousands of Gulf War veterans it acknowledges were exposed to DU, enabling DOD spokesmen to plausibly but deceptively deny the existence of evidence linking DU to veterans' health problems. But then he writes, at the other extreme of the debate, some anti-DU activists, the governments of Iraq and the former Yugoslavia, Yasser Arafat and Taliban sympathizers, have worked jointly and independently to promote an apocalyptic vision of DU's effects. Their claims are often based on a mix of fact, fiction, and propaganda, and they run the spectrum from the possible, from the plausible to the absurd. Several of these claims are currently getting an undue amount of media attention, he says, including DU has caused thousands of cancer deaths, birth defects, and other illnesses among civilians in Iraq, the Balkans, and Afghanistan. The use of DU munitions is an act of genocide, and over 2 million pounds of DU have been released in Afghanistan, as well as the U.S. government has secretly substituted natural uranium for DU in its weapons. And he says, since most of these claims are built upon speculation and lack any credible supporting evidence, they are easily discredited and discounted, but they have nonetheless stirred public concern and spurred very limited political action. What do you think about his take on it?
Well, I think there is a lot of exaggeration on both sides, and certainly denial by the military in terms of its toxicity. I've seen some of the military spokesmen, telling things that were, I would say, untrue. And so, you have both sides exaggerating.
And on the science, he writes, DU can cause cancer, central nervous system damage, reproductive effects, and other health problems in laboratory rats, but evidence of human health effects caused by DU is inconclusive due largely to the fact that the health status of only a few dozen people with verified exposures has been assessed. And he concludes, DU munitions are neither the benign wonder weapons promoted by the Pentagon nor the instruments of genocide decried by anti-DU activists. Do you agree with him that toxicity and other health effects have been established in laboratory animals but not in humans?
Yeah, for the most part. There have been several cases, not a lot of cases, of people working in the uranium processing industry over the years that have been exposed to fairly high levels of it, and they got extremely sick. And there are more of certain types of cancers, particularly lymphomas, of workers in certain parts of the uranium processing industry. So, you know, there's certainly evidence that it can be toxic, but you also have to keep in mind that in the processing industry, they took extreme safeguards to protect people from this, from exposure to uranium, because they knew it was very toxic.
Let's take another phone call from a vet who served in Iraq, Charles in Queens. Hi, Charles. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. I arrived in Iraq before the war started in January as a Special Forces officer, and I was assigned to Task Force 37 of the 3rd Infantry Division, and I slept right next to DU rounds in my Bradley. And upon my redeployment to Fort Bragg, the screening that I went through, specifically, they did a test for DU poisoning, or however you want to phrase it. And upon my return to New York, where I reside, the VA, in addition, in Northport, Long Island, did a screening for DU rounds. And naturally, it came back, you know, there wasn't a problem. But, you know, I found it kind of difficult that to understand where, you know, maybe the federal government and or the VA are not doing their job. In my case, in the case of approximately 30 of my soldiers, when we redeployed back to Fort Bragg in North Carolina, they went through their screening for DU poisoning. And
in other words, you're saying the Pentagon and the VA are doing this job?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, they gave me one too many boxes to take the test kit home with you in the VA. When I went to the VA in Northport on Long Island, they give you a box with a bunch of cups in it that you have to urinate into, and then you bring it back to the VA, and they send it down south somewhere for the testing. And I still have the box in my basement, as a matter of fact. They gave me one too many boxes. And there, as far as I'm concerned, they did their job. And I'm not only a veteran of the second Gulf War, but of the first Gulf War. And,
wow. Thank you for all your service. And Sergeant Reed, thank you for your service, too. And how does your experience, which seemed that, you know, there was such a lack of interest in screening you, square with his?
Well, you know, that's I'm thinking the same thing. We're talking about 10 soldiers here from my unit, the 442 Military Police Company. And when we came back, we asked about testing for depleted uranium, and the medical staff said that they would have to contact Walter Reed and they get back to us. Well, they came back to us and told us that there wasn't a test for depleted uranium and that we had nothing to worry about, and all our illnesses were in our head, and they were going to send us to see a psychiatrist. You know, so we did a little bit more research, and we found out that there was a nuclear science unit right there at Walter Reed. It was in the bottom of a building with no signs, no nothing. And we just happened upon this. And we went in there and we found out that they were interviewing soldiers who were coming back. And this is how the levels, 1, 2, and 3. And we fit into level 3 because we inhaled this stuff after it was fired. Well, they refused to test us. So when we went to Colonel Fitzpatrick, and we went to the Daily News and we reported this, that's when they came forward and said, okay, we're going to test these guys. But you have to realize, too, that the method that the military and the VA is using is very inferior. It's not able to pick up the minute particles of depleted uranium, U-236, U-238, or U-235, that's in your blood system. So this lieutenant, who slept next to all these depleted uranium rounds. I wish him all the world in the world. But I can tell you for a fact, our test came back positive, and I have what they call U-236 in my system. Now, where did that come from? I understand that only comes from a nuclear reactor. So you tell me how I breathe this stuff in, because I was a perfectly healthy individual prior to going to Iraq. And when I come back, I can hardly bend over. I'm on so many narcotics that a normal person would be knocked out.
Right. Well, the two of you are certainly describing different experiences upon returning home. Charles, anything else you want to say?
Well, you know, we maneuvered all the way from southern Baghdad, southern Iraq, all the way through Samarra and Diwanir, and actually my unit actually advanced into the Thara nuclear power plant or nuclear facility that's in East Baghdad. And you know, if you live in New York City or New York State and downstate or Long Island, all you need to do is go over to see Nurse Brown, who is the individual I saw at the Northport VA, and she will get you your DU exam and give you the test kit. And as far as I'm concerned, the Army did the right thing by me and my soldiers. And, I'm sympathetic towards the sergeant and his particular situation. And I have no doubt in my mind that he's sick. I'm neither a doctor or someone that can, you know, explain what his sickness was caused by. But I just know that the Army did the right thing by me, that the Nassau County Department of Veterans Affairs and the New York State Department of Veterans Affairs, as well as the federal VA, did the right thing by me. And, you know, it sounds like there's some sort of disconnect there that occurred between him and his unit and the care that he was supposed to receive upon redeployment.
Maybe over the nature of the exposure that he's claiming compared to the exposure that that they knew about in your case, it sounds like, perhaps. But, Charles,
sure.
Thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate it. Assemblyman Dinowitz, would your bill, if it passes the legislature, do anything for New York veterans who may be in a similar position to Sergeant Reed, which I guess would go beyond just screening people when they come back?
Well, the bill would aid any soldier or veteran in obtaining federal treatment services, including the best medical practices, meaning that the bill would mandate that they get the treatment, not just the screening. Despite what the caller said, it's clear to me that even if it's possible that some people are being screened or even treated, that's not happening on a very consistent basis. And we got to make sure that anybody who needs treatment gets it and that everybody should be screened. So, yes, the bill would make sure that New York State ensures that anybody of our veterans who come home will get the treatment.
We have a few more minutes to talk about depleted uranium, its health effects and alleged health effects on veterans returning from the Iraq War, as well as others from the Gulf War and who served in the Balkans, and people who live in those places, with retired Army Staff Sergeant, who was just speaking, Herbert Reed, Glenn Lawrence, a biochemist studying depleted uranium at LIU, Long Island University, and Assemblyman Jeffrey Dinowitz, a Democrat from the Bronx, who introduced this bill in the Assembly to make sure that Iraq vets can get screening and then treatment if necessary for depleted uranium-related illness. And talking with you at 212-433-WNYC. And Tony in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello, everyone. I just wanted to say that this is not just an Agent Orange kind of thing. This country has been, Iraq has been contaminated in Afghanistan for 10,000 years. Every sandstorm that blows up is going to be pushing this vaporized material around. The Geneva Convention says it's not legal to use nuclear material and weapons. This stuff should not be used. It should be stopped. Everything that can be done for the vets should be done, but we should also pay attention to the country and the further use of this material that should be outlawed, banned, and never been used in the first place.
Thank you for your call. Dr. Lawrence, I realize you're a scientist and not a politician or someone involved in international law, but do you feel that this substance violates the Geneva Convention?
Yes, I do. I'd like to add, though, about the treatment, and we haven't discussed that yet, but years ago they found that citrate salts were very effective at decreasing the toxicity of uranium. And citrate salts, such as magnesium, potassium citrate, and so on, are used for kidney stones. So it's commonly prescribed. And also many citrus fruits and so on contain a lot of citric acid that would be beneficial in people who have been exposed to uranium. So I think it's important to get that information out so that people who suspect that they might be exposed could, it's so easy to get the citrate salts and citric acid that's in so many different fruit juices and so on.
Assemblyman Dinowitz, are you willing to go so far as to say you think it's illegal for the United States to be using depleted uranium in war?
I'm certainly no expert in what's legal and illegal to be used in war, so I certainly wouldn't say that. But I will say that we have to fight for the health of the veterans, and that's what the bill does. I'm simply looking out for the people who've served us without regard to the politics of the whole situation.
Fred in Monticello, you're on WNYC. Hello, Fred.
Hi, good morning. There was some information put out last year from actually just about a year ago from the Veterans of Deputy Assistant Secretary for Veterans Affairs, Department of Veterans Affairs, VA Central Office, where the figures that were put out of over 580,400 soldiers who served in GW1, 11,000 are now dead, and it has been linked directly to depleted uranium. These figures have been out, and actually they've been updated this past year to 15,000 as of 2003.
Well, Dr. Lawrence, it sounds like from what we were discussing before about what's known and what isn't known in the science, that overstates the case, overstates the certainty of any link, certainly to that number of Iraq War deaths, yes, or Gulf War deaths?
Yeah, I think you can attribute some of the Gulf War deaths from uranium, not all of them, but you know, we just don't know how many, though.
We are just about out of time. Do any of you want to give contact information, maybe for vets? Dr. Lawrence, is there a place that people should go to get more information?
Well, I have a website. I don't remember the exact address of it now, but you can also get it from Trap Rock Peace Center. And anyway, I have some information there on, how people can, what the health effects are and some helpful suggestions for those who suspect that they have been exposed.
So that's a site on the web, Trap Rock.
Yeah, and it's also at my website at Long Island University in the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry.
All right, and that's Dr. Glenn Lawrence, who teaches at Long Island University. Assemblyman Jeffrey Dinowitz, Democrat from the Bronx, introduced the DU screening and treatment bill. Herbert Reed, retired Army Staff Sergeant, now suing the government over what he says is depleted uranium disease. Thank you all very much for coming on with us today. Sergeant Reed, good luck. Feel better.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.